finding the right division. Wow, what a segue. Here's Brother E.C. Moore.
And I thank you for watching today. Will you turn in your Bible with me to Ephesians chapter 2? I appreciate you watching today. I hope you'll get your Bible, open it with me, and look at the verses. And if you do not have a Bible, then I hope you will get a pencil and a piece of paper and write down the scripture references. The Bible tells us very clearly that we are to rightly divide the word of truth. There are many verses that bear out this fact, but in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, the Bible said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And that tells me a lot. The passage making the remark, "needeth not to be ashamed," implies a judgment. I know that we that are Christians are going to all stand before the judgment seat of Christ according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, and Romans chapter 14. We're going to all go to this judgment, and we're going to give an account of the deeds done in our body, whether they be good or bad. In fact, the passage says we're going to receive the things done in our body, whether they be good or bad. According to Ephesians chapter 6, the things that we do right, we will receive right. We receive good. But according to Colossians chapter 3, the ones that do wrong will receive for the wrong that they've done. And there's no respect of persons with God, the Bible said. So I learned that it is very important that I rightly divide the word of truth. Study to show thyself approved unto God. In other words, there is an approval. If there is an approval, there is a disapproval. Our works can be disproved or disapproved. Unacceptable to God. But how can we know that our works are acceptable to God before we get to the judgment? We can know that by doing our works according to the Word of God, rightly divided. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. In other words, if we don't rightly divide the Word of truth, our works will be disapproved, our works will be rejected. Our works will be burned, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we will receive for the wrong which we've done. And we'll be ashamed before the Lord. Not receive a crown, as in the crown of righteousness of 2 Timothy chapter 4. So it is very important that we rightly divide the word of truth. There must be some place that the word of God can be divided. People say, okay, between the Old and the New Testament, and they separate it between Malachi and Matthew, but that won't necessarily work because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are still in Old Testament. In other words, the Old Testament is very active. It is in the 3 years of the ministry of Christ, and Christ is walking according to the law, and the law is not taken out of the way until the crucifixion. And according to Hebrews chapter 9, these books which exalt the life of Christ in those 3 years, the ministry of Christ, have to do with a period of time under the law. So the division between Old and the New Testament couldn't really be before the cross. But that still does not solve the problem for me, because I cannot take the book of Acts and pattern my life after the book of Acts. For instance, if I'm going to pattern my life according to the book of Acts, am I going to follow Peter of Acts chapter 2 in his ministry, or Paul of Acts 9 in his ministry? The Bible said, follow Paul. He said, be ye followers of me, as I also am of Christ. Am I going to described to people a ministry that began on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, and so forth? Or am I going to describe unto people a ministry that began with the Apostle Paul in a city outside of Jerusalem and away from Jerusalem? If my ministry is going to, if I'm going to follow the pattern of the book of Acts, will I repent and be baptized for remission of sins, or will I, as Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting that He died for my sins? In my preaching, will I preach as Peter did in Acts chapter 2 and 3, "You by wicked hands have taken and you've crucified the Son of God, but God hath raised Him up"? Or will I preach as Paul did, "We glory in the cross of Christ, and it's by the cross that we have our salvation"? If I'm going to follow the book of Acts for my ministry, if that's the pattern for my ministry, will I sell out everything that I've got and lay the money down, the proceeds, at somebody's feet in order that distribution be made to all men, as they did in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4? Or will I, as Paul said, will I follow the preaching of Paul in 2 Thessalonians and follow the idea that if any man will not work, neither should he eat, and that the fathers ought to lay up for the children, as in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. Or will I follow, as Paul said, in 1 Timothy chapter 5? If a man don't care for his own, he said, and especially they of his own household, he's denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So there's got to be a dividing of the Bible. There's got to be a separation somewhere. I have made that division based upon the salvation of the Apostle Paul, who this Bible says is the Apostle of the Gentiles. Paul is the Apostle of the Gentiles. Paul is the teacher of the Gentiles. Paul is the minister of the Gentiles. Paul is given the gospel of the Gentiles. It's called the gospel of Christ. It's called the gospel of the grace of God. So I make the division in one accord with the salvation and writing of the Apostle Paul. I do not follow Paul in his personal activities as is described by the book of Acts. I teach the things that Paul said is a form of sound words, as in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. That form of sound words to me is Romans through Philemon. So I stress rightly dividing the word of truth in order that I may preach the right gospel. Peter preached the gospel of the kingdom. Paul preached the gospel of Christ. Peter preached the gospel of the circumcision. Paul preached the gospel of the uncircumcision. Peter preached, "You crucified the Lord." He preached a murder indictment against those people in Acts 2 and 3. But he said, in effect, "God saved the day for you in that He raised Him from the dead. Now repent and be baptized." But Paul preached that Jesus Christ died for your sins. Glory in the cross of Christ. By the cross, we that are believers are made one body. And on. So I believe in and preach rightly dividing the word of truth. I do not believe that Peter preached the same gospel that Paul preached, but I do believe that Paul preached the same gospel that Peter preached. In other words, Peter preached that Christ died, was buried, and rose again. So did Paul. But Paul preached that Christ died for your sins. Peter did not. Now, there are three divisions that we've been describing for several weeks now that are found in this Bible. In Ephesians chapter 2, let's start reading in verse 4. In Ephesians 2, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now reason, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Then why did God raise us up? What is all this about anyway? What is his purpose in saving the church which is the body of Christ? What is his purpose in saving ungodly Gentiles? What is his purpose in saving sinners such as I? That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. It's almost like, and I think about this in my mind, it's almost like as if there was a future time when someone like John the Baptist might walk up to Jesus Christ in heaven and say to him, what is this grace that I've heard about? What about this grace that I hear so much about? Show me the grace of God. And Christ would point directly to me, for I am an example of God's grace. God Almighty gave Christ for me at Calvary. God preached the gospel to me and saved me, that he might through me show the exceeding riches of the grace of God. How? In his kindness toward me through Jesus Christ. The Bible says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. When the kindness and love of God toward man appeared, Jesus Christ appeared in Acts 9. Not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy he saved us. In other words, the Lord appeared to the Apostle Paul to make known to the Apostle Paul that Jesus Christ died for our sins. You see, the issue that is before me today has nothing to do with bringing about something by my belief. You cannot bring about what has already been done by your believing it. You cannot, by your faith, bring to pass that which God already did in your behalf. God, in your behalf, crucified his Son, condemned him, made him to be your sin. An event took place in A.D. 33. Jesus Christ took your place at Calvary. He took your cross, and he bore your shame. He bore your sin. The idea is that you believe that you claim that you trust that is true. You trust Christ as your Savior. You don't bring that to pass by believing. It already came to pass whether you believe it or not. God Almighty saved me and Paul and all those that are saved today and raised us up together through the cross, through the work of the cross, in order that someday, ages to come, he might show his grace, the eternal riches of the grace of Almighty God, in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. To work for it eliminates and annihilates the grace. It cannot be by works and grace. It's either by grace or by works, but it cannot be both. For by grace are you saved, through faith, not through works, through faith, and that not of yourselves. Now you can have faith and works together. Faith without works is dead, James said. But he did not say, grace without works is dead. And there are thousands out there today. There are thousands of people every Sunday morning that are doing everything they can do to convince people that grace without works is dead. No, no, no. Faith without works is dead, not grace. By grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And the grace of God is the gift in the context according to Romans chapter 5. Read it. Romans chapter 5, start reading in verse 12 and read the rest of the passage. Romans chapter 5, verse 12, the rest of the chapter. Read it. The gift is grace. The gift is righteousness. By one man, Adam, sin in the world and death by sin. Condemnation came upon all men by one man's transgression. Condemnation came upon all by one man's disobedience. Righteousness, justification came upon we that believe in Christ by one man's obedience. Christ was obedient unto death. God delivered him up for us all, and he was obedient unto death, and by his righteous act, by his obedient act of death at Calvary, we that believe in that act, put our confidence in the action that he performed at Calvary, we're made righteous by and through that. And that's grace. No work, nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. We have nothing to offer. Isn't it amazing that you read the Old Testament scriptures, you read especially the book of Leviticus, and you find back there that God Almighty told them what gifts to bring. God told them what sacrifices to offer. And God never asked you for a gift. God never asked you for a sacrifice. But instead, God asked you to receive his gift, receive his sacrifice. And I'm talking to somebody right now that you'll not have it that way. You're determined that you're going to offer something to God. You're going to make a deal with God. You're going to make a trade with God. You're not willing to sit back and relax and trust Christ and honor God by receiving his gift. Oh, no. You in your haughty spirit and your self-righteous attitude, you with your hypocritical, rebellious attitude, are bound and determined that you're going to do something to cause God to love you. The only possibility for you is to drop your self-righteous works, drop your self-righteous rags, your filthy rags of self-righteousness. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God and receive by faith the gift of grace that God Almighty offered you. For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, never of works, lest any man should boast. There is nothing that we can boast in but the cross. Paul said, I glory in the cross of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember, that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. Well, then I know there's a division that is a reference to time past. We've already been discussing that in the weeks that before this. Verse 12, that at that time, time past, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometime afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Well then, time passed. We were without Christ. We were aliens from Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, had no hope, and were without God in the world. But in this age that we now live in this present dispensation of the grace of God, we're made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. We come to God through the blood of Christ. We're redeemed by His blood. We can approach God today because we believe in His Son, because we receive His Son and claim His Son as our only Savior. No other way can you approach God. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's Jesus hell for you. You either believe in and trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. You either believe in and trust that Jesus Christ paid for your sins at Calvary, that He took the law out of the way, took your sins out of the way at Calvary. You either believe in that and trust that, or go to hell. No type, kind, quality of work or quantity of work will God Almighty receive from you to bring about what God accomplished for you at Calvary. For you to even attempt to bring it about is to bring reproach upon the precious blood of Christ. For you to attempt to do it is to bring shame and reproach upon what God did for you at Calvary. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now, in rightly dividing the word, we know then that there are ages to come after this age we're now living in. You know, things change all the time. And the tremendous changes have taken place in religion, we'll say, in the past few years. But more than that, changes have taken place in so-called Christianity. Changes have taken place where Bible believers are concerned. But you know something, folks? I believe basically the same things now that I believed 25, 30 years ago. They've not changed. 25 years ago, I believed that Jesus Christ died for me, was buried and rose again, and I believed there was a day when Christ was going to shout, and I would hear that shout, and by that shout,
well,
my vile body would be changed and I would be caught up in heaven. I believe that then and I believe that now. Nothing has changed. I believed that I found that in 1 Thessalonians 4. I believed it 25 years ago. I believe it right now. Nothing has changed. I believed that the Apostle Paul was the first man saved by absolute grace through his faith in the death of Christ for his sins. I believe that now. I believed back then that there was a difference in the appearing of the Lord and the revelation of the Lord. Now, I've got on the board up here the ages to come. The ages to come, Hebrews through Revelation. It happens after the appearing. There is a day He's going to appear. I referred to it as the rapture. Somebody always just gets all in a sweat now, gets all out of shape because they don't mind the word rapture in a King James Bible. But that which takes place at that appearing is what a rapture is. That catching out to meet the Lord is what rapture is. Check the word in the dictionary. So that's going to take place. The church, which is the body of Christ, we that are trusting what Jesus Christ did at Calvary for us and nothing else, we in this age of grace look back to Calvary and trust Christ as our Savior, receiving the gift of God. And when this happens right here, our vile bodies will be changed. We'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be, Lord. And then the ages to come, having to do with Hebrews through Revelation. So I've got the appearing of the Lord. Turn in your Bible, please, to 2 Timothy, and look in 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. His appearing. His appearing is a time when He's going to appear unto us. Turn, please, to 1 Thessalonians and look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. In other words, He's going to shout to the church, the body of Christ. He's going to say something unto us that we'll hear. The voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet Christ in the air. Turn, please, to Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1, and look at verse 3. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world. In other words, He's going to shout, we're going to be changed, go up, be delivered from this present evil world. Our vile body is made like unto His glorious body, and He's going to show somebody in those ages to come the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You can be a part of this if you will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that you may be saved.
Amen.
Thank you for listening today. Till next time, good day.
Thank you, Brother Moore.